Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
St. Peter of Nolasco,
pray for us.
St. Agnes,
pray for us.
Please be seated. We pray in the collect for this feast of St. Peter Nolasco. O God, who for an example of thy charity didst divinely teach Holy Peter to render thy church fruitful in a new order for the ransom of the faithful, grant us through his intercession that being loosed from the bonds of our sins, we may enjoy perpetual liberty in our heavenly home, who livest and reignest world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This collect that is read today for the Feast of St. Peter Nolasco is a very beautiful one and pretty much sums up everything that is so important about the feast of this great saint, charity. They say that when he was born, still an infant, that a swarm of bees came and they landed in his tiny little hand, and there they made a honeycomb. That is a symbol of, has always been a symbol of charity, and people took it as a sign that this would be a great saint filled with great charity, and indeed he would become just that. But first, back to our Lord in his manger. Why did he come? Why did he come from his throne in heaven, where he was perfectly happy, had everything? He was there with his Father, and there with the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Holy Ghost, infinitely happy. Yet he would come down to earth and become just a little infant. He would take on suffering. As an infant, he cried. He was hungry. He needed to sleep and do all the things that human beings do. As Bishop Sheen once said, it would be something like us becoming a dog to save the dog world. Eat with the dogs and sleep with the dogs. You know, I've talked about that before. But our Lord did that all for us. And the whole purpose was to redeem us from our captivity. We were slaves of the devil, slaves of sin as well. And he came, the great redeemer. St. Peter Nolasco imitated the same charity that our blessed Lord had for us. Our Lady appeared to him one night, and she did the same to St. Raymond of Peñafort, whose feast was just the other day, as well as the King James I of Aragon. He appeared to them all, Our Lady appeared to them all, but she told St. Peter Nolasco how much she would be pleased if he were to found an order in her honor, Our Lady of Mother of Mercy, that would go about the infidel and pagan countries to redeem, there's that word, to redeem the Christians who were in captivity under the pagans and infidels, the Moors and whatnot. So the three of them got together. They all learned that Our Lady told them all the same thing. So they got to work. And they took the three religious vows that they all religious take, poverty, chastity, and obedience, but they added a fourth, that they would give themselves up in place of the Christian who was in captivity in order that the Christian slave could be set free if the opportunity ever presented itself. That was their vow. They say of St. Peter Nolasco that he himself was personally responsible for having redeemed or ransomed 890 Christians from the pagans. That's a lot of people. But so it was for this great saint. He was so charitable that he was willing to even lay down his life, just as our Lord was, to ransom the captive. But this reminds me of something that is very important and very pertinent for this weekend. There are other prisoners of a kind master, a kind and fatherly master, the poor souls in purgatory. There they must live, unable to help themselves, chained in the fires of purgatory. They depend on someone. They need someone because, as I said, they cannot help themselves. They need a ransomer, a redeemer, to come and set them forth from their captivity. That's you. Where is it? We're meant to be their ransomers, but are we really? How much time do we spend? Not necessarily time, but how often, how much, and how much fervor do we put in the prayers that we say for the poor souls in purgatory? A small aspiration, a long litany, a mass, a holy communion, all these things refresh the poor souls in purgatory. They feel that refreshment at that very moment, and it will at least eventually be revealed who it was that consoled them by their prayer or their good work. They'll never forget that you are one that helped them, and they will pray for you before the throne of God forever and ever. Remember that. You are to be like our Lord, a redeemer. You are to be like St. Peter Nolasco, a ransomer of captive souls. So let us, especially this week, concentrate on the poor souls, and concentrate in particular on the soul of dear Virginia, who is loved by us all. Pray for her, that she might soon find her way to the throne, to her throne in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.